From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. What effect is the shrinking public sector having on the Washington state economy? Last year, the private sector added thousands of jobs, including 2,300 in the last 2 months in manufacturing, but state and local government continue to make job cuts. The state eliminated 1,266 full-time jobs in the last legislative session. King County has cut more than 7% of its workforce since 2008. So is leaner government good for our overall welfare, or is it bad for our overall welfare? We welcome back Paul Guppy, Vice President for Research at the Washington Policy Center, a Seattle think tank that promotes free market policies, and Marilyn Watkins, the Policy Director at the Liberal Economic Opportunities Institute, also based here in Seattle. Marilyn, let's start with you. What's been the impact of cutting public jobs on the broader economy here in Washington State?
Well, it does have a pretty big impact on our economy. When you think about it, these jobs like school teachers, firefighters, librarians, and the like, you know, these are people, these are middle-class jobs. These are, in many ways, the jobs that have defined the American middle class, and shrinking this sector impacts not just those families directly, but our whole economy. That's fewer people who are able to go shopping in their local communities, do all sorts of things that help keep the whole economy going. Every time we shrink one part of our economy, it has broader impacts on the whole economy.
Paul Guppy, what do you see as the impact of cutting public jobs on a broader economy?
Well, I have a bit of a different take, maybe as you would expect, because I think that the mistake that public officials made at both the local level and the state level was thinking that 2005, 2006, that economy was normal. And they overextended the obligations of the government. They grew administrators, middle management, and they basically increased budgets by double-digit numbers year to year, 11%, state spending grew 17% 1 year. And that's just simply not sustainable, and that's what we discovered. It's not sustainable. So I think this is a normal adjustment that's happening where local governments are finding that they need to live within their means. And most of the pain from the recession has occurred in the private sector. So I think the public sector is going through a normal adjustment period, just as the private sector has been doing for going on 5 years now.
But what about Maryland's? I wanted to ask you, Paul, about Maryland's point that when you put people out of work, it's going to be a drain on the economy. It's not good overall, even if they're public sector workers.
Sure. Great point. So that's a short-term adjustment that, again, I think is inevitable because leaders in government were irresponsible and overspent. So they think that their maximum budget is where the public needs to maintain them all the time. And I think that's kind of elitist thinking on their part. They're not thinking of the working poor, unemployed people who have to pay taxes in order to support this government structure. So overall, the adjustment is necessary in order to return our economy to prosperity.
Marilyn, I heard you wanted to jump in there.
Yeah,
I do. Well, I think, you know, if you look back over time, in fact, the number of state employees that we have compared to the population that we have here in Washington State is at an all-time low for decades. So it's not just if we compare it to just before the recession. It's actually if we compare it 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, we have far fewer public employees for the number of people that we have here in Washington State. That obviously has a pretty big impact on the ability to provide public services to people who need services and rely on the state for all sorts of things. All of us rely on, you know, everything from education to transportation, but all sorts of other ways as well. So that has a direct impact on the services as well as on the general economy.
Paul Guppy, how about to that point? Marilyn says that there's been disproportionately low job growth in government compared to the population growth we've seen.
Well, that could be a good thing, because if over the long term, if we're talking about decades, what that means is that government is becoming more efficient, which it should do. There isn't any magic formula that says that government has to grow as the population grows. Another favorite measure is that as income grows, government has to grow. So the public sector is always taking a certain share of everyone's family income, everybody's business. And I don't think that's the case. I think the measure is, what are the public services that we need? If local agencies, think good for them to be under a certain amount of budget pressure, because they will look for efficiencies and lessons on how to deliver public services better for a slow, their budgets are growing, by the way, they're not cuts, but they're growing more slowly than they were in the past.
Paul Guppy with Washington Policy Center is with us, as well as Marilyn Watkins, who's with the Economic Opportunities Institute. Last night, President Obama proposed raising the minimum wage nationally from $7.25 to $9 an hour. So we're about to engage in a national debate about whether that's a good idea. Our state's minimum wage is $9.19 per hour as of January 1st, 2013. I believe it's the highest in the nation. Marilyn Watkins, what impact has that had on the economic welfare of the entire state?
Well, I think it's had a good impact. One of the benefits of having that minimum wage, which the people of Washington State passed overwhelmingly back in 1998 to have that annual cost of living adjustment so that the lowest income people actually could keep pace with inflation. It means that, you know, those are people that spend pretty much every dime they get. That's money that goes right back into the economy that circulates. There are people who really need that, and it hasn't impacted our ability to grow jobs. We've had just as good, if not better, job growth here in Washington compared to the rest of the country since our minimum wage law has been in effect. And I think President Obama was looking at those same kinds of statistics when he said that this would be good for our whole country if we had, you know, the people, I think, really believe that work should pay. If you work full time, you shouldn't be living in poverty.
Paul Guppy, what do you think the example of Washington State shows to the national scene when it comes to a higher minimum wage? The president proposing $9, a little bit lower than our minimum wage here.
Well, I think this is why you asked Marilyn and me to be on, because I definitely have a different take on this issue. And it's more of an economic point of view, because politicians love the minimum wage because it feels like giving everyone a free pay raise. It's like, okay, I'm just going to raise your pay. But the problem is that it hurts the working poor because it removes job opportunities. And I wouldn't agree that we've had job growth as we have elsewhere in the country. We have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country and the highest minimum wage. And there's a reason for that. The two are linked. So while people who, if you have a job, that's great. But if you're unemployed, you're not earning any income that you can spend back into the economy. And youth unemployment is twice the rate of the average unemployment in the economy. So try helping a young person find a job when the minimum wage is so high. It prices inexperienced workers out of the market.
Finally, for each of you, I want to talk about the sequester. It's the Budget Control Act of 2011 that's going to require automatic across-the-board federal budget cuts of over $1 trillion. They're set to go into effect this month unless Congress passes something to avoid it. Republicans say they think it's going to happen. Paul Guppy, how will that affect us in Washington State if it happens?
Well, this is not the way to run the government. And actually, I think it was mentioned during the response last night to the president's speech that the sequestration was President Obama's idea. He proposed it in 2011, and I think he's shocked that his proposal might actually become reality. I don't think he wants that to happen. And as far as governing goes, it's a terrible way to oversee our economy because it creates so much uncertainty. So I'm hoping that Congress and the president can come to an agreement before the sequestration takes effect.
And Marilyn Watkins, how do you think the sequestration, if it happens, and it looks like it's going to, will affect us here in Washington State?
Well, it'll hurt the whole national economy. It'll likely push the whole national economy back into recession here in Washington as well. I agree with Paul on this. It's not the way to run a country. Congress created this problem. Congress can solve this problem. Our problem is not we have too much public spending right now. Our problem is that we don't have enough consumer demand. Families are still struggling from the effects of the recession. We need to do things to create good family wage jobs and get the economy moving again, and sequestration is not the way to do that.
Well, at least we had one point of agreement. Marilyn Watkins, thank you very much. And Paul Guppy, Marilyn Watkins, Policy Director at the Economic Opportunities Institute in Seattle. Paul's with the Washington Policy Center. I'm Ross Reynolds. It's The Conversation.